The Supreme Court found the rabbis of the fence in contempt of court because they have found that the rabbis unfairly threatened a Jewish person in a way that convinced them not to access their legal rights. A man was called from the Beth Din. The man said, I don't want to go to the Beth Din. I wanted the case to go to the Supreme Court. The Beth Din said, if you do not come to us, we will give you religious sanctions. The New South Wales Supreme Court has found that was in contempt of court because they've pressured someone not to exercise their legal rights to go to a civil court in Australia.
Can you tell us more about the case? Why would a person go, first of all, to the rabbinical court? I understood you go to the rabbinical court, people go if they need a get or something like that.
According to the rabbis, every Jew should go to the rabbinical court for a civil matter first. And so in this case, there had been a business dispute. One person was claiming, I believe, $5 million from another person. And that first person took the matter to the rabbinical court. And the second person effectively said, look, I don't mind dealing with this case, but let's do it in the civil court. That's where the rabbis had an issue. But the person simply said, no, I don't want to handle that way. I want to be heard in front of the New South Wales Supreme Court because it's a civil matter.
This is very interesting because in Israel, when people have a business dispute, they will go to the civil court, not to the rabbinical court. They will only go to the rabbinical court for maybe mediation?
This certainly has, I guess, divided a lot of the community. Whether halakhically is right or wrong, I'm not talking about a rabbi. But the question is whether the community feels it is appropriate for the rabbis of the Sydney Beth Din to oversee a $5 million dispute as opposed to, let's say, civil court. I personally, I'm Jewish but not religious, and I would much prefer my case to be heard in front of judges as opposed to in front of three rabbis.
I've got another question. The fact that the Supreme Court judge told them that they acted improperly, what's the implication to the Beth Din?
Technically, they could receive jail time, but my understanding is not going to happen. They may receive a fine, or the judge may find that they're in contempt of court and therefore they can't sanction the person, but they're not going to fine them. So there's a whole range of things. In terms of the Beth Din, we the Jewish News would say that if the rabbis genuinely want the community to go to a Beth Din they respect, that the judges of the Beth Din shouldn't be in contempt of court, and therefore the judges of the Beth Din should stand aside.
And is the civil court has the ability to dissolve the Beth Din?
No, I mean, they don't, because effectively what the Beth Din is, it's three rabbis. But when they hear disputes, they hear them as a general rule in accordance with Australian law. So obviously in this case, the judge kind of haven't. But you know, if you go to a mediator, you sign a mediator's agreement and you agree to be binding, and the Beth Din actually has the same process. So the general Beth Din hearings are in accordance with Australian law, but I don't know if anyone can do it, but certainly you don't need to be, approved by the court.
If you're going to follow the Australian judiciary, the Australian law, why would you go to a Beth Din? A Beth Din will follow a Jewish law.
I agree with your heart, and that's the question. That is where, I guess, this argument and this issue comes to a head. The question is, can you follow the religious law, Jewish and the Australian? If you can do that, great. If you can't, you shouldn't. The second question is, who should hear these? Now, I would say the majority of the community believe it should be heard by an Australian civil court. The rabbis of the Beth Din believe that the first step is should go to the Beth Din and then maybe to a civil court.
Well, the repercussions are that, let's say, Muslim people will want Sharia law.
Right, and what the Beth Din would say is that is correct. However, they would say their sanctions are of the religious variety. So if you want to be part, they would say, if you want to be part of the Jewish faith, you respect the Jewish laws of going to a Beth Din. If you don't respect that law, you lose the right to be called up to the Torah, for example. So they would say their restrictions are Jewish and their punishments are Jewish. They may feel they're correct there. What I would say is if you agree to go to a Beth Din hearing and you sign the documentation, the binding agreement is a lot more than religious. It could be financial, all sorts of things. And Beth Dins in Australia have a relatively checkered history, or Din Torahs in Australia have a relatively checkered history of cases where people have been asked to remove children from school and schools and all sorts of different things. So I think that people should have the right to have their case heard in an Australian court without having any Jewish sanctions applied.
We are talking to Joshua Levi, Deputy Editor of the Australian Jewish News. Joshua, there is no paper this week. There is no print. I know it's only once a year between Christmas and New Year that we don't get the newspaper. But you have other news online. Can you tell us about it?
That's right. One of the biggest stories this week is New Zealand singer Lorde, who announced she was going on a tour, which included Tel Aviv and Russia. And then this week, after pressure from BDS supporters, announced she would not be going to Tel Aviv because the human rights abuses and she didn't feel comfortable. The ridiculous nature of this is that Russia is one of the world's worst abuses of human rights. The fact that she has boycotted Israel but is still going to Russia really speaks volumes for either A, her understanding of human rights, or B, whether money plays a part in how far you should go for human rights. But to still perform in Russia and just boycott Israel is laughable.
What was the other news item that you put online?
The other one, which is actually, I would say, the greatest story of the year, was a young 5-year-old girl named Libby Nagel. Now, Libby, when she was 3 years old, was diagnosed with cancer. She's from Sydney. She had to go to America for treatment, to try and get the best treatment and hopefully recover. Libby has been in America for a while now. There was a wedding in Israel this week where she was meant to be a flower girl, and no one thought she'd be able to make the wedding. But she contacted a group, or the parents contacted a group called Jet 911. And Jet 911 specializes in medical transfers, and they were able to make sure that while Libby was in Israel for 4 days, she received all the medical treatment she needed, and she was able to go to the wedding and be a flower girl. And it's just one of the best stories of the year.
Talking about children, I would like to talk about our teenagers that just completed their matriculation, and about the Jewish day schools. I think the Jewish day schools in general did really well in the final exams.
It was another amazing year. We're pretty lucky in our community. 3 of the top 10 schools in Victoria were Jewish schools. And in Sydney, we had a lot of schools in the top 50, including Mariah, that rocketed up the rankings, and so did Masada. And it just really is a tribute to the students, the teachers, and the structuring, because a lot of our parents send their kids for the Judaism as much as education. But the fact that the education is also of the highest order is a credit to the schools and the community.
Joshua Levi, Deputy Editor of the Australian Jewish News. I would like to take the opportunity of thanking you for wonderful reports throughout the year and wishing you a fantastic 2018. This is the last broadcast for 2017.